Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
Feral Audio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Get soft if you want to get soft
with it. Welcome to Emotional Hangs.
That's Joe DeRosa.
That's Kurt Braunohler, and this is part two of the Q&A episode. I had to split it in half. We couldn't get to everything the last one, so if you were sitting there thinking, these motherfuckers, I write a question, they don't answer it. Hey.
We're going to answer it.
Probably, unless we forget to do it in this one.
Guys, this is the podcast about adult friendships, about how to learn to love one another.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's as much about us learning to love one another and the people around us as it is about you.
So on three,
folks.
One, two, three.
Let's get soft!
First off, there was a guy on Twitter who, I don't, because it's far back in my mentions, but he had a question, which I don't know where it came from. He said, do you consider the other person a good person?
Yes.
Which I am so interested to know why he's asking us that. Like, what part of our interaction on this podcast makes him think that I think you're a bad person?
You're getting a little defensive already.
I'm already defensive. I saw that question. I was like, I don't like this.
You must be worried that I think you're a bad person.
No, I wonder what we've said that makes us. Of course, I think Joe's a good person. I wouldn't do a podcast with someone who I thought, that's more what it is. Like, I wouldn't do a podcast with someone who I thought was inherently a bad person.
I just took it as he thought. He said, here are two guys that consistently challenge one another on a podcast about emotions and perspective and morals and ethics and all these things. And he just thought, you know, at the end of the day, do you think the other guy's a good guy after you've learned all this stuff about him? And I say yes.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll give you full disclosure here.
Yeah, go ahead. I want it. I want it. We're here.
There was a stretch prior to this podcast where I was unsure about you, not because of anything you did necessarily, but not that you were a bad person, but, you know, dude, I was like, yeah, I hope Kurt's not another one of these Hollywood dildos.
Here's my question. Was there like something that you saw me do that you're like, well, he could be a Hollywood dildo?
There was one thing, one time.
Yeah.
We were supposed to, back when I lived in Silver Lake, I had people over one night. This was really at the beginning.
Yeah.
I had people over, and I invited you, and you said you were going to come. I was very excited, admittedly, because it was like, oh, my new kind of friend is going to come. This is exciting. I never thought this guy'd be in my house. This is strange and exciting. And then you no-showed. And I didn't even text you. I texted you like, dude, what the fuck? Are you coming? And you were like, sorry, I'm at our friend Scotty Landis, who's a great dude.
Yeah.
You were like, I'm at Scotty's shooting pellet guns.
Oh, I remember that.
And you said, I think Scotty had maybe just gone through a breakup, and you're like, I'm here drinking with him. And I was kind of like, if I didn't text Kurt, I don't know if he would have told me he wasn't coming.
Yeah.
Because your reaction was sort of like, oh, shit, sorry, dude.
Yeah, do you want to know what that was going on?
Sure.
wasted. Wasted. Not expect, like, I think Scotty was like at 2 p.m. he was like, hey, do you want to come over? And I was like, of course. You know, we want to chat about some stuff. And it was like him and me and another one of our friends. And we just started drinking at like 2 or something, you know. And so by the time it was evening time, we had this fire going with like, I think plastic was mostly in it.
Oh,
and
okay.
Shooting a gun over the fire. and it was, yeah, there was, that was definitely like, oh, this is a day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a kind of, but I apologize for not.
It's fine.
Texting you.
That was the only thing that where I was ever like.
See, I also didn't know you well enough to know that you're the type of guy who would take it as an insult if you say you're going to come and not come.
You didn't know me well enough to know that I'm a human with common courtesy.
See, and I think that this is about becoming an adult. It used to be. It used to be, I think, when we were younger. And that if you were having a party, you just invited like 100 people.
Well, it wasn't a party, though. It was, I'm having a few people over on Friday. Come over. It was 4 people.
Yeah, see, I didn't know that. I thought like you invited 50 people.
Oh, okay.
You're having some people over meant like, you know, and just like my absence would not be noted.
Oh, okay. That's no, I was, this was very much a, hey, I'm inviting people that I think are very cool into my home tonight.
Yeah.
So that's good to know. Mm-hmm. That's good to know. The only other thing I got, and we'd already talked about it on the podcast, and I really, really want to rerun this episode. The what, not getting invited to Lauren's party.
Which is that
episode, which we talked out on the show. We don't need to rehash it. It was a misunderstanding, whatever the hell it was. I really want to rerun that episode, though. I think that is one of the best things we've ever done. But we did it. It was like the third episode back when this was not a real podcast.
Yeah. But we should totally rerun it.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Do you have anything with me?
There's one thing.
Yes. Good. Good.
I'll
I'm excited.
It's like an air. It's like a beef. It's a beef airing.
A beef airing.
Well, not a beef airing, but you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Isn't that the yeah, it's called Air It Out.
Air It Out. Yeah.
I still at the back of my head dislike that you didn't vote. Because I feel like, and I know that it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? I know that it doesn't matter in California whether or not you voted. But part of me is still annoyed at it because of the fact that we're in what could very possibly turn into an authoritarian government.
Right.
And you just didn't care enough to say, I'll take a stand.
Well, I want to thank you for reigniting the tweets I'll now be getting from people calling me a privileged white. Even though
I'm sorry,
even though I'm neither of those things.
With each other, I had to
no. I appreciate it.
I want to air this out. I don't want to be thinking about this anymore.
I can tell you this. I'll counter you with this.
Okay.
It mildly annoys me that friends of mine, you being one of them, don't understand or not understand, will not open their mind to an ulterior position in any way. It's either it's my way is the right way or it's no way at all.
But I'm not saying I want you to vote a specific way. I'm just talking about voting, period.
You're not, though. Because if I was on here going, I voted for Trump, he's great, you'd be furious.
No.
And you wouldn't be here.
But I would not be here.
Well, that's my point.
Because I honestly would believe you to be a bad person.
Sure, I'm not a fan of the guy. But I was not a Hillary fan either, admittedly. I thought it was really gross what they did to Bernie. I thought that was despicable.
I
and I thought, for me, it was proof positive that we don't live in a democracy. We live in a power structure. Your vote this entire quote system unquote is far more orchestrated than we could ever have imagined. And I just was like, fuck you. I'm not going to be a part of this. Like, that's just how I feel. I truly do believe, and people scoff at this all the time, but I truly do believe if everybody put their foot down and said, we're not participating in this system anymore, which is where I'm coming from, then we might have a chance at some real change. But
I don't think that's how change happens.
Well,
change doesn't happen by a refusal to participate. Change is is active participation.
Not true. Change happens through protest.
But also, like, already in America, we have less than 50% of people who vote for the president of the United States. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But my point is this. Change happens through protest. Protest is not cooperating with your government and doing the thing they tell you to do as they continue to fuck you over. I mean, everybody, and I say this respectfully, I don't mean, not like, when I say everybody like you, I don't mean, I'm not trying to clump you in with people. But when I talk to somebody who's coming from your position on this, about this, it's the same thing all the time. It's like, well, you need to participate. And then out of the other side of the mouth is coming, as we watch our government continually do things that seem unjust and unfair and not democratic. And I'm like, well, isn't it very clear at this point, after we've had so many so-called stolen elections, after we watched our government be shut down literally overnight because people didn't want to pass legislations through, after we've watched wars that were supposedly going to end rage on and get bigger, all of these things, isn't it obvious that this doesn't work? That your voice isn't working in the structure as it is now? Isn't it obvious that for us to think that somebody at a Tom Cruise level of fame identifies with us somehow is absurd? It's absurd to me. I'm talking about it in my act right now. I'm like, please stop saying to me with Trump, with any president, he can't do that. Well, apparently he can, because he's doing it. So I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I support it. I'm not saying I like it. I think it all sucks. It does upset me. It does worry me. But I don't think playing ball in the system is the way that anything is going to get changed. I just don't. Like, you know, but...
So you'll never vote?
I can't say I would never vote. Mm-hmm. I came close this time with... I've never voted in the past. For many years, it was... I've always kind of felt like this. And I've said this before on the podcast. Everything that I hear people saying right now about Trump was also said about Bush. If you go back in history enough, you'll hear that, you see that was also said about Reagan. I don't think it's any coincidence that liberal presidential candidates continually become more conservative with each coming election. Clinton was more conservative than Carter. Obama was more conservative than Clinton. Hillary Clinton was more conservative than Obama. That is not a coincidence to me. That is saying adapt to the structure that we need you to adapt to. And I don't think it's any coincidence either that our Republican nominees and presidents have become essentially stupider with every turn. It's not, that's...
Yeah, I know. You didn't think, like, everyone was like, Reagan's stupid. And then, like, George W. Bush were like, oh, George W. Bush is stupid. And now you have Donald Trump, who is essentially an idiot.
And I actually think George H.W. Bush was...
And George H.W. Bush was, I think, the one conservative president who was like, even though he did start the Persian Gulf War, but... He
also,
like,
ended the Cold War. Yeah. He's like, you know, so he did some good stuff.
He was reasonable, at least. Yeah. He seemed reasonable.
But, you know, it's not... I wrote this down the other day in my random thoughts thing. We do not have presidents. We have patsies and pushovers. That's what we have. When Obama was in office, everybody complained, why is he rolling over for these people? Why? Because that's what they do. Do you really think this one guy has any control? It's a figurehead. This is absurd to me that we still think one man gets elected and has power. It's patsies and pushovers. You go in, you're too liberal. They say, you better fucking roll over on this shit. And they do constantly. We've noticed time and time again, whenever anybody too liberal gets too big for their britches, they are seemingly silenced.
But if you're too conservative, it doesn't seem to have the same effect. That's the crazy.
That's
part.
Not true. Well, it's not. It's not. Excuse me. I don't mean that's not true. If you're conservative, you're a patsy. If you're liberal, you're a pushover. The conservatives are patsies. To me, Trump is a guy where they go, "Hey, dude, are you a fucking pig-headed dude enough that, like, if we tell you to go out there and just say this shit, like, you'll do it and take all the bullets for us?"
So you think someone's telling Trump to do the things he's doing?
110%.
No way.
Well, listen, I don't think...
Trump is just doing things.
So you think, in this day and age, where every single major entity in the society we live in consists of shareholders and...
and teams and investors and think tanks and all these things. You really think that that applies to everything except the White House?
I mean, maybe he's listening to Bannon. If he's listening to anybody, he's listening to other weird lunatics.
My opinion is that they say to a guy, go out there and take the fucking fire for the shit we need done right now. And this is the shit we need done right now. And that's why, and the liberal approach to that is roll over apologetically. And the Republican approach to it is wave your dick around and act like you don't care. And both constituencies identify with the way the person fails the public. It doesn't matter. It's the same outcome either way. The public is failed either way. It's just you have one guy going, go fuck yourselves, you fucking fatty, dumb fucks. You know what I mean? And then you have another guy going, I'm really sorry. This is terrible.
I can't agree with you that it's exactly the same.
I would sleep.
Regulations on industry, they're gone. They would not have been gone with Clinton. Rights, civil rights for everyone, gone under Trump. They wouldn't be gone under Clinton.
How do you know? But hold on a second. How do you know they wouldn't be gone? How do you know that?
I mean, here, Clinton might have deregulated some industries, but I don't think she would have to the extent that Trump is. Because definitely, like, Clinton is just big money, you know, and in with everybody. But also, she's incredibly astute and knows that, like, long term for her party, the Democratic Party, deregulations and destroying the environment is not going to play well for her.
So you think, honestly, I'm really asking you this.
Yeah.
You think it's just a coincidence?
Yes.
That Obama, who was supposed to be the white knight, backpedaled on everything, rolled over on everything. Democrats were
under Obama, we signed the Paris Accord.
Sure. Sure.
That's huge.
Sure.
Sure. He also, he's not perfect. He fucked up a lot too, but he didn't take us out of a Paris Accord that we'd already agreed to, which is what Trump did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are market differences, and you can't say they're the same. By saying they're the same, you're being
you're comparing facts. You're comparing a positive thing to a negative thing. I didn't say I like that Trump pulled us out of the Paris Accord. I didn't say that. But for every Paris Accord thing, the people that are against Obama could make these alarming claims about something he did. Okay, look, here's the best example. You could say he sent tons of more troops into the Middle East when he said he was going to end the war.
Right. So he used drone warfare to an extent never seen before.
That's an even better example.
He gave billions and billions of dollars to banks and didn't help regular poor people. I'm not saying it's
okay,
not perfect,
but
the net gain under Obama.
What was the net gain?
I mean, the Paris Agreement is huge. The Paris Accord was huge.
I'm
and
not
that's
disagreeing
not the only
with
one. That. He's done so many. All of the national monuments that he created right before he left, like, that protects millions of acres of tracts of land. Like, there's a lot of stuff. Like, it's, you can't say it's exactly the same. Because it's just not paying attention then.
But this is my question. Do you think it's, because we've sidetracked into another thing.
Yeah, no, we really need to get off this. This is not a political podcast. Neither of us are well versed in politics enough to have this conversation.
But this is us.
We're like treading right on the edge
of
our
knowledge. It's making
me
nervous too.
And I'm about to fall off the edge.
But here's this is still fine. This is us getting to know. This
yeah.
is good. Look, as far as I'm concerned, this is absolutely applicable or under the umbrella, this subject matter under the umbrella of this podcast. You cannot talk to people like this anymore. We are having discussion.
Oh, like this. Yeah.
We are having a calm discussion. We are disagreeing on certain things. Mm-hmm. We're sort of agreeing on other things, mostly disagreeing. We've said flat out, it annoys me that you think this about one another. And there's no part of me right now that wants to jump up and leave the room or change the subject or any stupid bullshit like that. You know, I was talking about this stuff the other night in a bar with somebody, and immediately they were like, can we just change the subject, please? And it's like, well, yeah, but I mean, for Christ's sakes, we can't even discuss this stuff anymore, and we can't. So I like that we're doing this, and I think that more dinner parties would be a hell of a lot more interesting if this kind of conversation went on instead of people talking about their fucking homemade jewelry business and everybody having to act like they give a shit. But the point that I was getting at was, I'm fully aware that obviously everything is not the same. There's a give and a take. I do not like Trump. I think he's a heinous person. Would I sleep slightly better at night with Hillary in office? Yeah, I guess so. You know, on the surface, do I line up with her socially more? Of course I do. That being said, I sort of have a bigger picture view of this, at least, and I'm just speaking personally. It only seems to swing back in this other direction. And I don't think it's a coincidence. This is what I was getting at earlier. I don't think it's a coincidence that Obama, for the most part, pissed off a lot of Democrats, a lot of people that voted for him, because they said he was kowtowing and he rolled over and blah, 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 once again. I don't think it's any coincidence that that happened. And then right on the heels of him is a candidate that is considerably more conservative than he is. And then when you get the guy coming in who really is the guy, Bernie, who really is saying the things we want and really is speaking for the people. Like, that guy fucking moved me, where I was like, man, I fucking believe in this guy. And they treated him like a fucking schoolhouse bitch. They smacked him around. I can't believe anybody likes Hillary after that. That's disgusting to me. And then I lost respect for Bernie when he immediately supported her. I was like, fuck you, dude. This is all bullshit. This is all fucking
bullshit.
Here's
how I feel about it. Because I used to be radically left as a younger man. And also agreed that the system was completely fucked and flawed and everything like that. Here's what I've come to. Maybe this is compromise. Maybe this is corruption. You judge it for what it is. But the United States is a war machine. No one will ever change that. 50% of our budget goes to war machines, which is fucking bonkers town. Right. We used to have eight aircraft carriers.
Right.
Every other country has maybe one. So like that's how I feel. It's like we're already evil and fucked. Bernie Sanders, everything he says, I agree with 100%. But does Bernie Sanders get to be in control of seven aircraft carriers? I don't think anyone's ever going to allow that to happen. And I'm talking like Illuminati shit now. Do you know what I mean? Like literally like Goldman Sachs is not going to let Bernie Sanders be in control of seven aircraft carriers because America is a war machine. So you're already compromised. You're already corrupted.
Yes.
You need to get the very best of the compromised, corrupted fucks in power because you're only going to get
an evil fucking person
who's going to be in charge of seven.
Kurt,
do you know how many
Kurt, listen
countries
to what you're saying.
That you can destroy with seven aircraft carriers?
Listen to what you're saying.
The amount of nuclear weapons on those things, it's insane.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But they're not going anywhere. They were there when Obama was in office. They're still fucking there.
Right. America is war.
So my point is this. What I would say back to you is, listen to yourself for a second. You can't believe in a little bit of Illuminati. You either believe in it or you don't.
I don't believe in Illuminati and there's an actual group and they like have a card and it says Illuminati and shit. I do believe that very wealthy people act in their own self-interest and that actually operates in a kind of a global way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that Trump is the most disgraceful president we've ever had. I think he's a fucking moron. Actually, I got to be honest with you. I don't think he's a moron. I think he's a fucking businessman
out of his depth.
I'm one of the people that kind of believes like he's hamming this up. Like he's doing shit to get reactions to distract us from other shit that he wants to
do. Right. That he's just passing through.
I think he's very much playing a role, but you know, man, but I might be wrong. He might just be that fucking crazy and stupid. I don't know. But my point is you can't believe in, we're a little bit compromised. We're a little bit fucked. As much as I hate that guy, I don't see it as, oh my God, what are we going to do? we've hit a low point and we need to turn it around. I'd like to believe that that's what it is, but I don't think that's what it is. I think it's, hey, we have led ourselves to this place. Here we are.
Of course.
And it will continue to decline from here. This is the fall. We are in the fall right now. It's happening.
Right. However, there are people you can put in charge that will protect the marginalized. And that...
In theory, but I don't know if I believe that anymore, because Bernie is a guy that could have protected the marginalized, and they bullied him out of the fucking race. They bullied him out of... They had to fire the head of the DNC because of what they did to Bernie. Do you understand? How do you believe in a party after they do something like that?
I don't believe in the Democratic Party. I just think they're fucking better than the Republican Party. And I'm sorry, but this is a two-party fucking country. It always has been and always fucking will be.
Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. If people would... smarten up and walk away from the fucking parties, then maybe something could change.
Right. And if billionaires didn't control 50% of the wealth and we get like scraps at the end on the bottom, like then maybe we could actually change it. But it's the system's rigged and we gotta get the best deal that we can in the system that's rigged. We're not taking the system down.
And that's the typical song of somebody who says you need to vote. They go, you need to vote my way. They don't want you to vote third party. Nobody, look at the fucking Samsung phone. Did it ever seem like there was a chance?
Get me into the Samsung phone metaphor.
Did you?
I'm excited about this.
Did you think there was ever a chance the iPhone would even become close to being taken down from the throne of the fucking smartphone industry? That fucking thing was a global phenomenon. People lining up for hours, days outside of stores to get the 0.5 version of the new one. Not even the new one.
Yeah.
These fucking people. Samsung comes out. People are like, go fuck yourself, Samsung. 10 years later, Samsung's like, hey, man, we're fucking kind of running shit too now. And that's my point. If people just stepped out of the system for 2 seconds and were like, you know what? We don't have to just do iPhone. We have a choice. We could go over here if we wanted to.
Have you ever used a Samsung?
Yeah.
I hate them.
Well, they're wonky. They're wonky. They're harder to use. That's called effort. and having to be self-reliant. They're more independent phones.
You heard it here, folks. Bernie Sanders is the Samsung of
politics. It really is actually a great metaphor. The Samsung phone gives you independence. It makes you think for yourself.
It catches on fire on airplanes.
Which is a possibility when you shattered the government. It's not a bad analogy.
All right, we got to get
this
off
this. This was a great,
topic.
I love this. I thought this was great. I hope.
Let's get to your, I want to get to these listener questions. We're not going to come to an agreement on this, but I'm happy that we had the conversation.
I respect where you're coming from.
And I respect where you're coming from.
And
you're coming from a young man version of me.
I think we have a very, I think we're closer to agreement than we have been in the past. So I think that's good. Just a quick tweet from Mike Alcantara. His handle's at 4LK3Y. He wrote, suck my woke dick. Which I must have said on the last podcast because people keep
a lot of people keep tweeting us, suck my woke dick. And I don't remember you saying it. But I'm assuming you did.
I remember screaming, I've been fucking woke. So I probably yelled, suck my woke dick. All right, here is one from Brandon Bennett. Holy shit. This one's really long. You know what, Brandon? We're going to come back to that. Because I have one from last week that we didn't get to from Sheila Saya. This is actually an email I received. This is very long. I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as I can. Okay, wanted to share something with you. Kind of fits in the genre of emotional hangs. I remember you talking about how you don't know anyone in therapy that's like a, quote, normal friend, and mostly jaded comedians, that sort of thing. Joe, it's very much different out here in Parentville. I think as a society, we're growing more accepting, but mental illness and health still has a huge stigma, and there's so much support, help, and help out there. So I don't think many people can get help, but the stigma... So I do think many people can get help, but the stigma and the lack of talking about it means it's hard for people to find it. Ask any parent to go to their local Facebook mommy group and search psychiatrist. Nobody talks about it. No one freely recommends it. It's very quiet. asking, on the other hand, for an OBGYN, dentist, tons of recommendations. Nobody is outing themselves about a root canal or a broken arm. I'm just saying it would be so helpful to many parents out there if we started talking about this. As a mom of a son who suffered anxiety and depression at age 10, was eventually suicidal and put into a psych unit. I am saying this. I'm trying my best to be open about it. So just a thought and maybe a topic to discuss with Kurt.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more, but that's the basic gist of it. Thank you, Sheila, for writing. Again, that's the second time she's written to me. We appreciate it. What are your thoughts?
I mean, while I was listening to that question, or rather comment, I wanted to tell you that my wife and I are actually going to go and do couples therapy.
Really?
Yeah, and not because like there's an issue we need to work through, but rather
you can't get it up anymore. Kind of thing?
I can't get it up. Yeah, it's just like a sock filled with cookie dough. You know.
That is disgusting. Because I just pictured your jizz having chocolate chip specks in it. That's disgusting. You're disgusting.
Thank you. And no, I mean, it's just more like, you know, we have a podcast that's all about, male-female relate, or not male-female, but rather remote romantic relationships called Wedlock on Audible. You guys can check it out. And also because we work together and also have a baby together, we decided we'd just go and kind of do some work on it.
Good.
On the relationship. And so, yeah, I agree. I would hope that the stigma surrounding mental illness is, and mental health in general, is being reduced. I feel like as a society, we are moving towards a place where people recognize that depression is real. You know, mm-hmm. The thing is, I can't speak for the middle of the country, but at least in cities, I think it's very common.
Sure.
I don't know how, we do is talk about kind of, mm-hmm. this kind of stuff on this podcast. So I hope we're doing our effort to destigmatize this. But yeah, go talk to somebody. You should talk to somebody, even if you don't feel like you're mentally ill.
Look, I say it in my act, and I take two pretty hard stances on this in my act. The more important one is, look, if you want to, don't be too brave to go to therapy. Like, go to therapy. If you want to harm yourself or you're thinking negative things about yourself, please go talk to somebody. There's no shame in it. You're working on yourself. It's something to be proud of. It's like if you exercise, you wouldn't be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
Therapy is exercise for your brain, essentially. And then the other side of it is, I'm not above crazy shaming anymore either. Like, if I see a guy in a thong cartwheeling down the street, I'm going to be like, look at that fucking wacko.
I know. See, that's the thing, too, where it's like you do want to still make fun of people who obviously have deep, deep mental issues.
Well, when I'm saying it's crazy tough. Shame, I'm not even saying it like making fun. I'm saying it like, look, guys, go get help. That's fine. But also don't try to calmly negotiate with the schizophrenic homeless guy on your front lawn screaming the N-word at you. Like, you're not reaching him. Like, go in the house, be safe. You know what I mean? We talked about this a little bit last week. There's the world we all want to live in, and that's great, and we should work toward that, but there's also the world we actually live in. So you got to still be safe and protect yourself.
Yeah, and of course, I don't think our listener is even talking about that.
No, not at all.
But it is fun. I always want, and this is something I struggle with, and I think it's because of the fact that I grew up in Jersey, that, you know, the word, I've been trying to train myself out of using the word retarded because I would use it all the time, and I never in a million years want to have someone who has Down syndrome hear that and feel bad about themselves. Do you know what I mean? However, there is, as a comedian, there is no word that is as cutting and as and has the correct connotation as that. And so I've been searching, and I just can't find another word. And so, you know, I sometimes say it, and I shouldn't, and I'm trying to change, but
I'm surprised to hear that. I would think, because I just stopped saying it.
You just stopped saying it. I
would think that you'd be the guy that's just stopped saying it, and I'd be the guy
I've definitely said it a lot.
Yeah, I just stopped saying it. But I also use, I find that there are many other great words out there to use.
for to mean that though, you can't just say like you're mentally disabled. My mom used to have a good one, which you can't say anymore, which was she would call people mental midgets. Which makes
can't
me,
say that for yeah two no, reasons.
Of course, yeah. You can't say that.
But I would.
Hey, it's my mom's word. I don't use that.
I mean, why can't you just say, what are you, a fucking idiot?
I can't say that. It's just not the same.
I love saying idiot. I love saying moron. You fucking
morons.
Morons,
fine. Imbeciles, fine. Still not the same. Anyway, that's not the point.
What about dumb snatch? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Next question.
Brandon Bennett writes, you can write to Brandon at B_S_Bennett, 2 N's, 2 T's. I enjoy the podcast. Thank you, Brandon, for saying that. Several years ago, my sister was killed in a car accident, and she was one of the only people to call me during the time to... Wait a minute, what? Hold on a second. I was in my early 30s when my best friend and I started hanging out. Several years ago, my sister was killed in a car accident. Oh, and he was one of the only people to call me during that time to make sure I was really okay. Sorry about that. All right, now I got it. From that moment on, I knew I wanted this guy closer in my life. My question is something you guys have kind of touched on, and I know you'll relate. He and his wife are now expecting their second child. Their daughter is 3 now. And over the past few years, we've grown even more, as I have. What the hell? Their daughter is 3 now, and over the past few years, we've grown even more.
It's like listening to a reading comprehension
test. As I have an 11-year-old stepdaughter. That's what the sentence says. I'm confused.
So he has a 3-year-old. He has a 1.5-year-old.
So we've bonded over being fathers.
Great.
Yeah, that's basically what he was trying to say, right? I just realized I read his name, too, and I don't know if I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, man.
Well, he doesn't say, don't read my name.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we bonded over being fathers. The problem is now finding time to spend together. Wife is pregnant. He's obviously spending more time at home, sometimes having to cancel
You know,
plans.
You're reading this like you're reading it to yourself.
I'm just
fucking enunciate and read it to me.
I'm reading
it to the public.
Listen. No offense to Brandon. There are typos in this. I'm trying to read it. I'm getting confused while I'm reading it.
Well, maybe read it once before we get on air.
Oh, sorry. Did you read any of these?
No, because no one sends them to me.
Sit there.
I don't know why.
This is on our Emotional Hangs Twitter page, Kurt. This wasn't sent to me personally. I understand that he needs to spend more time at home and cancel sometimes, yet I'm wondering how do we maintain our relationship when we don't have the time to that we once had. See? That's a weird sentence.
Fine. That's fine. So that's a good question. I feel like I'm in a very similar boat right now. I don't see any friends. I have time for work and my baby. And how do we do it?
I don't know, because he does go on to ask, how do you manage to balance your friendship? By the way, Brandon Bennett in a tweet just in the mentions also wrote, "Suck Joe's woke dick."
Good.
He does go on to ask, "How do you guys balance your friendship?"
Well, I mean, honestly, if we're gonna be, we talk on the phone, but like yesterday, Joe called me because he was in a town, he was on tour, and got fucked. By his situation there, and wanted to call and just yell for a half hour, and I was listening. I listened to him yell for a half hour.
Yes,
and so I think we talk that way. But also, the majority of the time I see Joe at this point is during the podcast, and I don't know if that's because of the fact that I have a newborn, and I don't know how I manage friendships. I have people. I have good friends who are, have constantly been asking me like, hey, can you do this? Hey, okay, can you do that? And it's like, look, I burned all of my going out of the house cards on shows or meetings,
Mm-hmm.
And it's really tough.
That being said, I appreciate that Kurt and I have the kind of friendship where I would have plenty of fun going to his house on a Friday night where he's got to be home with his baby and drinking with him on his couch.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, like
So I think it's just a matter of you just have to find the things you guys can do together. That's all. Like,
yeah, I think we have to find pockets, you little nuggets. But and the main thing is to make it a priority. You know.
Well, yeah, and we've discussed that before. If both people make maintaining friendship a priority, you will maintain it in its own way. It won't be the same, probably, but you'll maintain it. If one person out of the two isn't willing to do that, then it's just not going to work. Sounds like your friend is willing to do that. Sounds like it's just tough for him right now to juggle. I can't imagine having one kid, let alone two. I can't even imagine having a wife. So I have no no idea what those responsibilities are, you know?
I think this is one thing, too, is having patience with a friend is a part of being a friend. So if you're continually asking them to hang out and they can't, be patient with them. Like, I feel like I'm asking a lot of friends right now to be patient with me until this child is a little older and I have some more time.
Sure.
And I think that it can be a version of friendship in itself, not seeing each other, just being patient. So just shut the fuck up, friends.
Yeah.
Chill out. I'll get back to you in a year.
Well, yeah, and it's growing. It's also you growing with your friend's situation. You know, Kurt and I are going to a birthday party today. He's like, I can't drink today, and I got to drive us to the party. Now, a year ago, it would have been, where are we drinking first? Then we Uber to the party. Should we bring a flask? You know.
To the bar.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, and like today, he's like, yeah, I can't drink. And I was just like, bummer.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, come on, dude, what are you doing? You know, like, so you just got to adapt. The both of you have to adapt to one another. We got time for one more.
One more.
But God damn it. This is from, I'm not going to say his name just to be safe. He goes, here's my friendship question. It's six paragraphs in a DM.
Here, give it to me. I'll read it.
Jesus Christ almighty.
Listen, this is how you read a friendship question, all right? Everybody take notes.
Look how long that fucking thing is.
We can't get to this. We only have 5 minutes. We'll come back to that one.
You got to mark it as unread because I'll forget it was ever there.
Oh.
We can't do it quick? Real quick.
All right. It's going to be 10 minutes just to read this question.
Don't just read the highlights.
Okay, Joe. Talk
about something while you read it in
okay,
silent?
Joe, here is my friendship question. I'll try to keep it as short as I can, but probably sorry in advance for the length. My friend Blankety Blank and I have some issues. Side note, Blankety Blank and I live in different states and have a mostly online relationship. Yeah, I know you guys probably already have opinions on just that, but most of my
I almost just said, that's not a friend. It's a pen pal. What are you upset about?
But most of my friendships are online because I'm a broken human being.
Whoops.
All right. She's a girl. She's a girl. I'm gay and in a relationship. It's platonic. It's all good.
All right.
Blankety Blank and I work together on a bunch of creative projects. You guys know what that is. And we are incredibly in sync when we work together. We have the same interests, same sense of humor. We always have a ton of fun hanging out. We've been friends for years. Plot twist. I have a personality disorder. It's not the interesting kind of personality disorder. It's the kind where you just kind of get delusional and are convinced everyone hates you and you self-isolate and then watch Schindler's List and it's a whole thing. So, 2 years ago, I had a personality disorder meltdown big time, and I told Blankety Blank that I needed a break from being friends. Mm-hmm. I know that's never a good thing to say to anyone, but I tried to say very explicitly that it was because of mental illness, and I thought she would understand because of her own history of depression. She did not. She was very upset. She bashed me very publicly, and all our mutual friends dropped me. I expected the anger. I didn't expect the airing of dirty laundry. Since then, we've repaired our friendship, but it's never been the same. All I want to do is keep working and keep watching garbage TV together. We have so many of the same passions and can practically read each other's minds. It feels like it would be a huge waste to not be friends, but she doesn't understand my need for privacy. She accuses me of using my mental illness as an excuse for my behavior being not constantly responding to messages or ignoring her.
Now, let me interrupt for a second.
Okay.
Because it'll help not only speed this along a little bit, but this is obviously a lot. Look, this isn't a friend. Unless at some point in this message, this guy is about to say, hey, here's the thing, though. She called me and apologized for all that. A friend doesn't do that. This is not a friend. A friend does not lambast you for your mental sickness, does not accuse you of using mental illness as a as an excuse for things. And you know what, dude? I'd love to know how old you are, because I think some of this is just a product of age. You know, I could be wrong. You might be older than me, but I have a feeling you're younger than me, because I went through a lot of this similar stuff. People, unfortunately, are not going to change. Very few do, which is why we started this podcast, was to explore the idea of two grown-ups changing and evolving instead of just being who they are and never adapting to anything. But the average person, unfortunately, doesn't want to change. This, everything you've said so far about this person doesn't sound like she's a real friend or a good friend. And it just sounds like somebody you need to phase out of your life. And you're not a broken man. You're not broken. You just have some problems that we all have. And you go and work on those problems and get that self-esteem up so you can make some real friends. You're calling yourself broken, and you're insulting yourself, and then I think that's affecting the quality of friend you're bringing into your life, because Ooh. You don't think you deserve better.
I agree
with
that.
And you do deserve better.
All right, here it is. I'm going to finish up. The worst thing is that I just don't trust her anymore. I've divulged really personal information to her in the past, and since then I've seen her publicly expose similar personal information about another significant friend that she had a bad break with. She's acted really gossipy and vindictive in a way I never expected from her, and I'm paranoid what she says to me about other people. It's pretty fucked up to be in this situation with someone who was practically my lifeline for several very suicidal years. So the problem... I don't know if I want to stay friends. I love her, but I don't trust her. I love her work together, and we're an invaluable resource for each other in our fields. I know the correct answer is to talk it out. I don't think so. That was me interjecting. But we can't meet face-to-face or even talk on the phone because she's deaf. Burying a lead. I'm just saying that's burying a lead. All right. There's email, and I am, but after the way she's vindictively shared screen caps of other people's messages, whoa, I don't really want a paper trail. If we have another ugly break, I'm afraid she would share screen caps, spill my private information, and even out me. I never thought she was that kind of person, but now I'm not so sure. So my options seem to be A, ignore the bad and stay friends. B, pull a slow fade and gradually let the friendship die. C, confront her about all this risk and ugly public explosion, losing friends and possibly being outed. What do y'all think? Am I justified in feeling like I need to split? Should I stay or should I go? Should I cool or should I blow? If you answer this on the podcast, will you sing that last part? Hope you enjoyed the novel. Love the podcast. Tell Kurtz congratulates on the kitty and podcast time he's been pregnant. All right, stay soft. Don't get murdered.
Do you hear how you're reading it now?
Yeah, I'm just...
When you criticize me for reading it like that, they go on and on, the messages.
That's very nice. I love that question. It's very interesting, but And this is a rarity. I'm agreeing with Joe. Here's the deal. This person, work with this person, cut them out of your fucking friendship. They're done. I don't even think they were ever... I mean, I know you enjoy their time and company, but this person seems fucked up. Also, I would urge, because you mentioned the fact that part of your mental illness is believing that everyone hates you and everyone is out to get you, take that with a grain of salt when you're thinking about this person. There's a possibility that she doesn't hate you and won't screen cap everything you say. However, you know, she's done it in the past, obviously. But regardless of all of that, cut her out of your life. It sounds toxic, and it sounds like it's upsetting you more. You know, work with her. Keep her as a work person, you know, where you can work with someone online. That's great. She's a good resource for you. But I don't take your emotions out of this. Do not invest in this person.
Do not invest in this person. I would end the friendship without explanation. I would not respond.
You don't owe her an explanation.
No, you don't owe her anything. I would not write anything, because she will screen cap it, it sounds like. I would cut this off, clean break, move on with your life. And I'd go as far as to say, if she writes to you and things and says, you know, what's going on? Where have you been? Just busy, and just keep it moving. You do not owe her a talk. You do not owe her a message. Well, you can't do a talk. You do not owe her a message. You don't owe her anything. She's been vindictive and whatever. And I know there's probably a part of you saying, yeah, but she's got some problems. So do we all. So do all of us. I should be there for her to help her. I will tell you great advice a therapist once gave me. It is not your job to inherit another person's problems. That's it. it is not your job. I was dating a girl who was bipolar, and I really liked her, but she treated me poorly because of the bouts. When she would go into a bout with the condition, she would treat me very poorly as a result of it. And I said, I feel like it's shitty for me to dump her because I am having a hard time dealing with her condition. And my therapist was like, her condition is not your problem. That's something she needs to work out before she's going to be able to have a real relationship. And she obviously doesn't have it worked out yet. So that's not for you to take that on. So it's not for you to take on the problems of this girl. And it's only for you to go work on your own things and find yourself some better friends, because you deserve better friends.
You deserve better friends. Don't we all, Joe?
Yes.
Guys, thank you for listening to Emotional Hangs. I am going to be at the Arlington Draft House July 14th and 15th. That's in Arlington, Virginia. You can get tickets on my website. Joe?
I got a bunch of dates coming up. I'm going to be at the Stress Factory, New Jersey, the weekend of the 22nd of June. And then in July, I'll be the weekend of the 14th. I'll be at the Punchline in Philly. And then the following weekend, I will be in Austin, Texas at Cap City. Follow me, Joe DeRosa Comedy, on Twitter, at Joe DeRosa Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, I forget. And the Emo Hangs page is there. Follow that stuff. Thank you for the messages. Keep sending the messages and questions.
Yeah, keep sending messages and questions. And go, if you live in New York or L.A., go see The Big Sick June 23rd. If you live anywhere else, go see it July 14th. Feral Audio.